Welcome, everyone. Andrea and I will be leading worship here at the communion table, so if you need to adjust your seating accordingly, you are welcome to. Friends, tonight we mark the beginning of the season of Lent, a season of penitence and contemplation and prayer, a season not to ridicule ourselves in shame, but to recognize our faults, our sins, our wrongdoings, a time to open our hearts, to open them to ourselves, to one another, and to our God. This is also a time to recognize that our hearts are broken, that our world is broken, and we fall short, as humanity has done since the beginning, and we are nothing without the love of our Savior. So at this time, let us join our hearts together in a time of worship. Thank you.
stand if you are able for the call to worship. Yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning.
Let us turn to our hearts and not our clothing.
Return to the Lord, your God, for God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love.
Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, all solemn assembly.
Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the aged, gather the children, even infants at the breast.
Let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and do not make your heritage a mockery, a byword among the nations.
Why should it be said among the peoples,
where is their God?
We join together in a responsive scripture reading. The traditional reading for Ash Wednesday is Psalm 51. So we're going to do my right and left. It's easier that way. Right is over here, left is over here. So right side, let us begin. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you alone have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and blameless when you pass judgment. Indeed, I was born guilty, a sinner when my mother conceived me. You desire truth in the inward being. Therefore, teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear my joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Sustain in me a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from bloodshed, O God. O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud your deliverance. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise.
The second scripture reading is from 2 Corinthians, chapter 5 through chapter 6. We entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As we work together with him, we urge you also not to accept the grace of God in vain. For he says, at an acceptable time I have listened to you, and on a day of salvation I have helped you. See now is the acceptable time. See now is the day of salvation. We are putting no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we have commended ourselves in every way. through great endurance and afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God, for the weapons of righteousness, for the right hand and for the left, in honor and dishonor, in ill repute and good repute. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet are well known, as dying and see we are alive, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing everything.
For some reason, as a child, my first introduction to the author C.S. Lewis through the Screwtape Letters and God on the Dock rather than the captivating stories of the Chronicles of Narnia. I didn't actually read any of these books until a few years ago my daughter Lily began reading them and watching the movies. And as we, the worship staff here at GPC, were talking about the season of Lent and Ash Wednesday, John reminded me of an image in the third book, The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, and how it offers powerful imagery of the ways our faith and our hearts are transformed by the power of God's grace and forgiveness in our lives. If you haven't read the book or seen the movies, that's okay. You too can imagine a little boy named Eustace, who everyone despised. It became very evident early on how despicable his behavior was as he boarded a ship called the Dawn Treader with his cousins Edmund and Lucy. He was lazy and selfish, dishonest and self-centered. So you wouldn't be surprised that when the ship came ashore on an island, this little boy slipped away to avoid a day of hard work. And at one point, he stumbles upon a cave and inside a treasure. And there he imagines his life and all the comforts that he would enjoy. And surrounded by this treasure and his selfish dreams, he falls asleep. And when he awakes, he realizes that he's no longer a boy, but a dragon. He was an outward manifestation of his inner greed and selfishness. And even this gold bracelet that he had put on his boy arm was now constricting his dragon leg, and the pain was piercing him. Even worse than the physical pain became the pain of realizing how he was now cut off from the people he knew, from his friends, his family, from all humanity, and there, isolated and alone, he began to weep. Now, in mercy and compassion, as is often depicted of the great king of Narnia, Aslan the lion arrives, and he leads the dragoned little boy to a garden on top of a mountain. And there is a well at the center of the garden. And the little boy turned dragon now looks at the well and knows if he could just get into the water that the pain on his leg would be soothed. But Aslan says that he will have to be undressed first. And the little boy turned dragon, Eustace, of course, is very confused because he remembers that he is a dragon. And dragons have skin like snakes. can be shed. So with his new claws, Zeus begins tearing at his dragon skin, and he peels off one layer only to discover another nasty, scaly, rough layer underneath. And then another. And then another. And he realizes in vain he will never make himself clean or get rid of the pain and shed that nasty, scaly skin. "You will have to let me undress you," says Aslan the lion. And so desperate was Eustace, even his fear of Aslan's claws was not enough to stop him from laying down a big dragon flat on his back. And here's what Eustace says from his perspective. "That very first tear he made was so deep that I thought it had gone right into my heart. And when he began pulling the skin off, it hurt worse than everything I've ever felt. And the only thing that made me able to bear it was just the pleasure of feeling the stuff peel off. And while he peeled that beastly stuff right off, just as I thought I had done myself the other times, only they hadn't hurt. And there it was, laying in the grass, only ever so much thicker and darker, more knobbly looking than the others had been. And there was I, smooth and soft and peeled as a switch and smaller than I had ever been. And then he caught hold of me. I didn't like that much, for I was tender underneath now that I had no skin on. And he threw me into the water. And it smarted like anything, but only for a moment, and after that it became delicious. And as soon as I started swimming and splashing, I found that all the pain had gone from my arm, and then I saw why. I turned into a..." And after a bit, the lion took me out and dressed me in new clothes. This story is such a powerful image about the sin, the brokenness that piles onto us, and that there's only so much we can do to peel off the layers of guilt and shame and brokenness. But that doesn't mean that we give up or we avoid it. In fact, it becomes an opportunity, an invitation that we have with God to partner with the transformation that is needed in our own lives and in the world. In your bulletins, if you haven't dropped them already, you'll find the hearts. And I would invite you to write down on your heart what's breaking yours, what's breaking your heart. Where are you experiencing brokenness in your life and in the world? And where are you inviting God to partner with you in transformation? These hearts are just one symbol of that brokenness. And on this Ash Wednesday, another for the sign of the ashes, a symbol of not only our finitude, the fact that we are all dust and to dust that we all shall return, they are also a symbol of repentance and uncertainty and the fragility of human life. Because like them, we have tasted the ashes of hopelessness and we have walked through them, our own loss and pain, and we have stood knee deep. Those ashes of brokenness, calling out to God, longing for those waters to cleanse us once more. So in this time, as the music plays, I'd invite you to fill out your heart. Take time with that. When you're ready, come forward, and Andrea and I will mark you with a sign of the cross with the ashes, either on your hand or your forehead, however you'd like to do that. Take your heart, place it in the baptismal font, and touch the water. It's a sign of the remembrance of God's love in your life. So once more, you ready? Fill out the heart. Take your time. Come forward, receive the cross. Place it in the font and touch the water. For anyone with mobility concerns this day, you'd like to stay in your seat, you're welcome to. We'll walk around afterwards and receive your heart and mark you with ash if you desire. So let us bring our brokenness, our entire lives, in this time of prayer to God. may be seated. In the sign of the cross and the touch of the waters, we remember our baptisms and the claim that God has on each and every one of us. And this evening, we also gather at this table for yet another tangible sign of God's covenant to always be with us wherever we are. For it was the night before Jesus gave himself to the authorities for his death that he gathered his friends around a table so they might remember and know that God's bread gives strength. He took common bread, and he made it holy, just as he takes common people, each and every one of us, and makes us holy. To remember, he asks that we repeat this act again and again, and he did so by saying, "This is my body, broken for you. Take and eat and do this in remembrance of me." And knowing that we cannot live by bread alone, he took the cup and he poured it so that we might remember the sight and the sound, and he shared it among us, saying, "This is faith made new, faith you wouldn't even know how to ask for, faith that will surprise you, faith that will sustain you whenever you drink this. Do this in remembrance of me." So we break this bread and we drink from this cup, we give thanks. The love and the grace and the forgiveness, the promises of new life that we have in Jesus Christ. Friends, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. And this evening we're going to celebrate the sacrament by intinction. You'll be asked to come forward again, this time not so far. We'll stay here at the ends of the communion table. Take a piece of bread, dip in the cup, and return to your seats. And again, we'll keep our eyes open, and if anyone needs us to bring communion to you, we will do that. This is an open table. It's not a Presbyterian table. This is the table of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us come together and eat. Thank you.
are marked with ashes, symbols of repentant hearts and contrite spirits. We want to be transformed, to be made new. Let us heed your call and walk with Christ. Help us to see beneath the surface, not denial and sacrifice, not sin and death, but transformation, new life in Christ. Let us seek to be changed by your power and glory, that we desire above all else to be worthy citizens of your new world of peace and justice. We offer these prayers in the name of your Son, Jesus, who taught us to pray together.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Friends, we leave here knowing that God's heart breaks with us. In this broken world, God is with us always. Go with that assurance, the love and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the power that comes from the Holy Spirit, now and always. Amen.